ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 I will be reading from the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text 16. That's the chapter is entitled Dhyana Yoga. In chapter 6, Lord Krishna discusses the system of yoga. And text 16, first Sanskrit. Natyas natastu yogosti na chekantam anasnata na chati svapasi lasya chakrato neiva chayuna. Please repeat.
Na.
Never.
Ati.
Too much. Ashnata.
Ashnata.
Of one who eats too. But.
Yoga.
Linking with the Supreme.
Asti.
There is.
No.
Cha.
Also.
Ekantam.
Overly.
Anashnata.
Abstaining from eating.
No.
Cha.
Also.
Ati.
Too much.
Svapna silasya.
Of one who sleeps. Chakrata. Or one who keeps night watch too much.
Not.
Eva. Ever.
Cha.
And.
Arjuna.
O Arjuna. Translation and purport of Vaisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. There is no possibility of one's becoming a yogi or Arjuna if one eats too much or eats too little, sleeps too much or does not sleep enough. Read the purport. Regulation of diet and sleep is recommended herein for the yogis. Too much eating means eating more than is required to keep the body and soul together. There is no need for man to eat animals because there is ample supply of grains, vegetables, fruits and milk. Such simple foodstuff is considered to be a mode of goodness, according to the Bhagavad Gita. Animal food is for those in a mode of ignorance. Therefore, those who indulge in animal food, drinking, smoking and eating food which is not first offered to Krishna will suffer sinful reactions because of eating only polluted things. Punchate tet vram papa ye pachant atma karanat. Anyone who eats for sense pleasure or cooks for himself, not offering his food to Krishna, eats only sin. One who eats sin and eats more than is allotted to him cannot execute perfect yoga. It is best that one eat only allotted to him. Anyone who eats for sense pleasure or cooks for himself, not offering his food to Krishna, eats only sin. One who eats sin and eats more than is allotted to him cannot execute perfect yoga. It is best that one eat only the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna. Person in Krishna consciousness does not eat anything which is not first offered to Krishna. Therefore, only the Krishna conscious person can attain perfection in yoga practice. Nor can one artificially abstain from eating, manufacturing his own personal process of fasting practice yoga. The Krishna conscious person observes fasting as it is recommended in the scripture. He does not fast to eat more than is required, and he is thus competent to perform yoga practice. One who eats more than required will dream very much while sleeping, and he must consequently sleep more than is required. One should not sleep more than 6 hours daily. One who sleeps more than 6 hours out of 24 is certainly influenced by the mode of ignorance. Person in the mode of ignorance is lazy and prone to sleep a great deal. Such person cannot perform yoga. Nastasnatas diogustina shikantam anasnatas. Achati shvapasilasya jahatmo naiva charyona. There is no possibility of one becoming a yogi or Arjuna if one eats too much or eats too little, sleeps too much or does not sleep enough. Om Ajnana Timrandasya Jnanjala Shalakaya Shakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Staptam Yena Bhutale Svamurkadanayam Tadati Svapadantikam Pandeyam Shihu Shiyoda Patkamlam Shikam Vaishnavam Sashirupam Sarachatam Sankanarakhnatam Tam Sajivam Tadvaitam Savadutam Parjanasaitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sankanolita Shri Vishakam Vitamsa E Krishna Karuna Sinu Dina Banu Jyatpati Kopesha Kripa Kanta Radha Kanta Namastati Tapta Kansna Kauran Hirabi Vindapanishvi Vishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamaya Hari Priya Panka Kalpta Visha Kripasan Priya Visha Patnam Pavan Vyau Vashnam Vyau Namo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadata Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Charaswami Iti Namine. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namine. Namaste Sarasvati Devi. Gauravani Pracharani Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paskachai Satarne Srila Prabhupada. So this verse of today, 6:16, tells us about the necessity to be balanced, not eating too much, not eating too less, not sleeping too much, not eating too less. That before Krishna had said in Bhagavad Gita, Yogusta Kuru Karmani Sangam Chyatva Tananjaya Siddha Sitya Samabhutva Samatvam Yoga Uchyate. In this verse, Krishna explains yoga as samatvam, sameness in mind. And he explains what it means, equal in failure and success. So, yoga means balance. To be equal in failure of success, one must be able to control the mind. First, to the eating too much, too less. If one eats too much, it will be difficult to control the mind. Even also when one eats too less, that but it's 4 or 5 years ago, His Illness Balananda Maharaj is the minister for health, and he started to compile to prepare for compiling a book about all the quotes of Srila Prabhupada on health. That 3 years ago we came to quite a substantial compilation of quotes. And then we asked also Harisari Prabhu that we could include the quotes of his book. That and now it started to become a substantial volume. That I'm proofreading the book now for the second time. Hopefully next year also, or the year after, we will publish it. That so I'm proofreading the book for the second time, and I was thinking today I will speak about a few interesting points that I found in the book. And since the verse of today is going about eating too much or too less, eating too less is more than most devotees have no problem with that. Eating too much, that's something else. Maybe this lecture is not good to speak on a Sunday, but and I will mention some of the quotes of Srila Prabhupada on overeating. Srila Prabhupada, there are so many references where Srila Prabhupada says that overeating is the cause of sickness. That this says from a lecture on the Srimad Bhagavatam in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada speaks on that subject in June 26, 1976. Srila Prabhupada says, poor people, they do not know what is their self-interest, what is the aim of life. Therefore, Vyasadeva is called Vidvans. Vidvans means very learned. He has compiled the Shastra Anartha, unnecessarily wound. Wounds we have increased. Now we, instead of wasting our time of increasing our unnecessary needs of life, we shall be satisfied with the bare necessities of life. Satisfied with the bare necessities of life. The Srila Prabhupada says, eating, sleeping, mating, we can minimize it. But we don't say that you starve. You keep your body uncomfortably and then fall sick. And then your Krishna consciousness business is hampered. So here Srila Prabhupada stresses the importance of that balance. Not eating too much, not too less. That. But the main warning he gives in that lecture, don't be attached to sense gratification. So it means, don't eat because you like to eat out of lust and fill your belly or fill up till here. That so Srila Prabhupada said, don't be attached to sense gratification. He mentioned that 2 times in this lecture. Satisfy the senses as little as possible. Just like eating, it is also a kind of sense gratification. And that's true. it is a kind of sense gratification. We cannot avoid it, that we all want to eat that palatable things. Yeah. It's also a kind of sense gratification to satisfy the tongue, satisfy the belly. But eating is also necessary if you want to maintain the body. So that's the goal of eating, not to satisfy the senses. But because why do we need to maintain the body so nicely? Because we need a body to execute Krishna consciousness. No Krishna conscious practice without the being healthy. So Srila Prabhupada speaks about plain living, high thinking, that is required. It is not necessary that unnecessarily we increase objectives of sense gratification and be entangled. So this is explained already in, also in the beginning of the second chapter of the first canto. Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse many times. Kamasya nandriyapitir labu jiveta javata jivasya tattva jihna sa nastriyasya karmavi. Life's desire should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation. Since the human being is meant to inquire about the absolute truth, nothing else should be the goal of one's work. So this is this verse. Let's look short. Now, why is that so? Srila Prabhupada explains. This verse is very significant for those desire to elevate themselves to a higher level of Krishna consciousness. When a person is initiated by a spiritual master, it changes his habits and does not eat undesirable eatables or engage in the eating of meat, the drinking of liquor, illicit sex or gambling. Sattvika ahar, foodstuffs in the mode of goodness, are described in the shastras as wheat, rice, vegetables, fruits, milk, sugar and milk products. Simple food like rice, dal, chapatis, vegetables, milk and sugar constitute a balanced diet. But sometimes it is found that an initiated person in the name of prasad eats very luxurious foodstuffs. So, I think it's prasad. In the beginning, the devotees. I heard that many times in America. They had big love feasts, and devotees would fill up until here. And they could one time and they would go take seconds. Then start with a big plate like a mountain, and then they would go again. But what's happening if you do that? That if an initiated person in the name of prasad eats very luxurious foodstuffs due to his past sinful life. And that's also significant, due to his past sinful life. He becomes attracted by Cupid and eats good food voraciously. It is clearly visible that a neophyte in Krishna consciousness eats too much, he falls down. Instead of being elevated to pure Krishna consciousness, he becomes attracted by Cupid. The so-called Brahmachari becomes agitated. He may begin to search out another wife. Maybe it's too long. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada said, one should take a lesson of Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj became attracted to a deer. And we should be very cautious to see that not a single moment is wasted in frivolous talk, sleep, or voracious eating. Eating is not prohibited, but if we eat voraciously, we shall certainly sleep more than required. So that's connected. Eating too much means sleeping too much. That sense gratification ensues, and we may be degraded to a lower form of life. In that way, our spiritual progress may be checked, at least for the time being. We know that Gandhi, it's in his biography, his whole life he was experimenting with food and diet and eating habits just to control his senses. The story goes in Gandhi's biography that his father was in his last moments, and he was going to leave his body one of these days, and he was waking and was always with him. But then, when it became late in the night, he saw his father was calm and peaceful. He went upstairs and went to bed. He became agitated by sex desire and woke up his wife. At that time, his father passed away, just at that moment. And he became so ashamed that he was doing this for satisfaction of the body, and that he was not with his father when he left his body. And that made him experimenting all his life with diet and food to control his senses. Interesting. If one can fast, that is tapasya, Prabhupada said, but it should not be artificial. Just like Raghunath Das Goswami, he was fasting. But he was not just fasting. People fast artificially and become weak and cannot work. That is not required. If you fast and at the same time you do not become weak, then that is recommended. And if after fasting you cannot do service, then what is the use of fasting? So that's the other way. Not eating too less. Because those who are very spiritually elevated, they eat very little and they sleep very little. Like Haridas Thakur, we go. He was chanting 22 hours a day to finish his rounds. Just finishing his rounds. And then he had half an hour to take a bath, half an hour to take some prasad, light prasad, and then he would 1 hour sleep, and then he would chant again 22 hours. Also the six Goswamis had very little sleep. But here is mentioned Raghunath Das Goswami. Once Raghunath Das Goswami was in Vrindavan, and one day he became sick. His disciples were very concerned because he was practically not eating anything. Every day he was taking one leaf cup, small leaf cup of dahi, yogurt. That's the only thing he took every day. And one day he became sick and they got a doctor, an Ayurvedic doctor, and the doctor felt his pulse and he came up with his diagnosis. He said, this person is suffering from indigestion of eating too much. That was interesting. Raghunath Das Goswami was in the spiritual world with his consciousness, enjoying feast prasad. And so that one day Raghunadas Goswami, because his disciples were thinking he's going to leave his body, he's not eating anything anymore. So since he was taking every day a small leaf cup of yogurt, he had a plan, we will make a bigger leaf cup. And they went to the garden of Lalita, and there's a tree there in the garden of Lalita with big leaves, and they make a cup from that. And they filled the cup with yogurt, and they went, no, this leaf cup was not from the from Lalita, but it was from the garden of Chandravali in Vrindavan. This leaves came from a tree there, Chandravali. And they made a big leaf cup of it, filled it with yogurt, and one of the disciples was bringing that to Raghunadas Goswami. Raghunadas Goswami saw this leaf cup. He took the leaf cup and he smashed it on the ground. He said, how do you dare to bring me something from the garden of Chandravali? Because that's a very esoteric topic. Because Gaudiya Vaishnava was mostly following Srimad Radharani, which is Chandravali's arrival. Anyway, Srimad Radharani says, just to show the different modes, Chandravali, our mood is, I am Krishna's. And the mood of Srimad Radharani is that Krishna is mine. Anyway, that's too esoteric subject matter for a Sunday feast lecture, but just to show a little background of Krishna was found that so about sleep, dreaming, eating and yoga. This is from a lecture on the Bhagavad Gita on the verses we are discussing today. September 7, 1966 is a very early lecture. So Natyasnatas to Yogosti Nashikanta Manasnatas Nachapis Papa Silasya. That's the verse of today. If anyone dreams very much, he can also execute. Now here Sri Krishna does not say that there is dreamless sleep. Dreamless sleep cannot be possible. It is not possible. If someone says dreamless sleep, it is another lunacy. No, a dream there must be, more or less. As soon as you go asleep, oh, dream there must be. That may be good dream, bad dream, or long time, or little time. But dream there must be. Now Krishna says, Nachati svapa silasya. That means, one who dreams very much while sleeping, he cannot execute yoga. Nachakrato naiva charyana. And one who cannot sleep at night, and then Srila Prabhupada says, I've got a young friend, he cannot sleep. So for him, it is not yoga. Yoga process is not possible. He may know dawn here. So sleep is also required. You cannot remain without sleeping. That is also required. That means somewhere or other, you should keep your body fit. You should not eat more. That is also required. That means someone or somewhere or other, you should keep your body fit. You should not eat more. You shall not voluntarily starve. You should not be voluntarily awake. And neither, if you keep yourself peaceful, then you will not sleep. You will not sleep also. When the body is very much agitated, then we see so many dreams due to the air which is coming out of agitated bile. And if you keep yourself peaceful, cool mind, cool head, stomach, then there will be ordinary sleep. Yeah. This is about sleeping that we talked about, eating too much, too less. Now I want to speak about general principles for health, which are emphasized in Srila Prabhupada's books. Interesting is, there is a number of quotes and from lectures, parts of lectures, where Srila Prabhupada says, health comes first. And then there are other quotes where he says, Krishna service comes first. So we will try to understand that. So we have Srila Prabhupada speaks in the purport of Bhagavad Gita 9.3, we have the devotional state, we perform devotional service, but there is also conditional service in relation to the body. You get up in the morning, you have to brush your teeth and so on, so many things we have to do. Now in the conditioned state, sometimes devotional service and the conditional service in relation to the body will parallel one another. But then again, sometimes these activities become opposed to another. As far as possible, a devotee is very cautious so that he does not anything that could disrupt his wholesome condition. The first thing is that you must feel well. That's very important. In the last 13 years now, I traveled with Prahlada Nanamaj, nearly every year I heard his courses on Ayurveda. And I want to share a few things here. That here it is said, the first thing is that you must feel well. We know we have a gross body and a subtle body. The subtle body is composed of mind, intelligence, and what's the third? False ego. False ego, ahankara. Krishna says these are energies. These are mind separated energies. This ahankara, we say it's false ego. It's identifying with the body. But that false ego, that ahankar, makes also function the body as a whole. That we are a spirit soul, we are in the heart, 1,000 tip of a hair. That's when this, because we are here, there is life in the body. But we have also so many cells in our body, billions of cells, and each cell has also an individual soul, and the cell is born and goes to all the stages and then to 6 stages as we go, and at the end it dies. They are all living entities, but our ahankar is also the ahankar of all these cells. So That's a general principle, and I will mention that first, and we will try to understand that. Srila Prabhupada said, when there is distress, there will be disease. That distress means disease. So, therefore it said, the first thing is that you must feel well. Because we have our emotions. We have emotions in ignorance. I'm envious, or may also there in passion, envy. That I'm angry. Mode of ignorance. That's the mode of passion, endeavoring to obtain so many things. The mode of goodness means peaceful detachment, a sense of happiness and well-being. That you should try to always act in the mode of goodness. That's up to us. It's a question of understanding what's the mode of goodness. Goodness means very clean, very pure in mind and in body. And that. But when one is in passion, that it's sense gratification, striving for sense gratification is a cause of distress. Of stress and anxiety which enters the body. And certainly the mode of ignorance is madness. So if we have anxiety, means the mode of passion is there and ignorance. That. So we should as much as possible try to avoid this tension in our body. Because this tension in our body is also felt by all the cells in our body. If you are a well-wisher of all the cells in your body, you come to goodness and to Krishna consciousness. Then the distress will go. Distress comes when you think this belongs to me and that is for my enjoyment. And the strive for enjoyment is a mode of passion. And ignorance is madness. If one is situated dominantly in ignorance, then it is well-being in the body, and all the cells are nicely nourished, in balance, then that well-being will help you in your Krishna consciousness. Because these cells have also life, and if they are felt there, if one is going through too much tapasya, or sleeping too little, then many of these cells die and are in distress, so-called, through this ahankar, and they start to revolt at a certain time. Rebellion. And the rebellion of these cells, that's called cancer. So it's so important we are learn to be peaceful for our health, The first thing that therefore Srila Prabhupada said, you must feel well. In whatever condition you should feel well, because if you fall sick, then everything will be topsy-turvy. That is our business, our first business. And then Srila Prabhupada refers to Kardama Muni. Kardama Muni looked healthy because he had directly received the nectarian sound vibrations from the lotus lips of the personality of Godhead. Similarly, one who hears the transcendental sound vibration of the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, also improves in health. We have actually seen that many brahmacharis and grihasthas connected with the International Society for Krishna Consciousness have improved health and a luster has come to their faces. It is essential that the brahmachari engaged in spiritual advancement look very healthy and lustrous. Now, to take care of the body means understanding the body is not mine. It's Krishna's body. That Srila Prabhupada says, everything belongs to Lord Krishna and is meant for his pleasure. This includes even the body of his devotees. Therefore, a devotee does not neglect his health, but tries to maintain it to keep the body fit for the service of the Supreme Lord. The devotee does not eat too much or too little, sleep too much or too little. He does what is necessary to optimize his devotional service. And then Srila Prabhupada speaks about the working conditions. Ugra karma is intense work that is unhealthy and inauspicious. I'm very much concerned about yourself, that you have been injured while working. I do not know what sort of ugra karma you were doing, but whatever you do, you must be careful. Your body is dedicated to Krishna. Therefore, you should not be neglectful about your body. You should always think that your body is not more your body, but it's Krishna's body. Therefore, you should take care of it. This was a letter to Jayapataka Das, October 6, 1968. A healthy life of self-preservation. So here, Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse again from the second chapter, the first canto, verse 10. Life's desire should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation. Since the human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth, nothing else should be the goal of one's work. Srila Prabhupada comments, the necessities of life for the protection and comfort of the body must not be unnecessarily increased. Human energy is spoiled in a vain search after illusory energy, illusory happiness. If we make a study of the general life of the animals, we can see that they have no intelligence for building big houses, furniture, and other household paraphernalia, and yet they maintain a healthy life by lying down on the open land. They do not know how to cook or prepare foodstuff. They still live healthy lives more easily than a human being. But then Srila Prabhupada says, that does not mean that we should refer to animal life. An intelligent human cannot live the life of an animal. Rather, man should try to utilize his intelligence in arts and science, poetry and philosophy. In such a way, he can further the progressive march of human civilization. But here, the idea is given by Srila Sukadev Goswami that the reserve energy of human life, which is far superior of animals, should simply be utilized for self-realization. That's the purpose. Now, there are a number of quotes here. Srila Prabhupada seemingly says the opposite, that Krishna's service comes first. Although generally health must be given priority over other considerations, devotional service is always the first priority. Srila Prabhupada's personal example is telling, for there are a number of amazing stories about how he put his service to his spiritual master and Lord Chaitanya above all other personal considerations, including his physical well-being and health. Now, there's one story, because there are so many quotes, but it's just one story. This was in must have been 1976 in Vrindavan. This is from Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. This, while he tolerated his condition as the mercy of Krishna, he suddenly received word that the governor of Uttar Pradesh was coming to visit him. The governor, a Muslim named Akbar Ali Khan, was traveling in the area and said Bishan Chand, a friend of Prabhupada and the governor's, had recommended that the governor visit the temple. Prabhupada thought that perhaps the governor would agree to help devotees, at least in such matters as getting government permission for steel and cement. Therefore, despite his failing health, he insisted that the devotees hold a reception in the courtyard, and he would personally go out and greet the governor. Lying on his back and speaking in a faint voice, he ordered a feast to be cooked and tables and chairs to be arranged in the courtyard. That was in the Vrindavan temple when Srila Prabhupada, that time, was very sick. He was lying on his bed. The devotees pleaded with Prabhupada to allow them to do everything themselves and tell the governor that Prabhupada was very ill. "He has come," Prabhupada said. "I have to go out and meet him." Shudakirti dressed Prabhupada in a fresh silk dhoti. Prabhupada tried to apply the Vaishnava tilak to his forehead, but even that was a struggle and took more than 5 minutes. When they were ready to go, Prabhupada asked his servant, "Have I put on my tilak?" He seemed almost delirious from the fever and was unable to stand. Shudakirti and others carried him in a chair, placed him in the middle of the courtyard, where they arranged several tables with prasadam and Prabhupada's books. Just before the governor's arrival, many policemen and soldiers arrived, roping up the area, directing traffic in front of the temple, and holding people outside until the governor arrived. Kunarnava had rolled a long red carpet from the edge of the property into the temple courtyard, and the devotees lined both sides of the carpet chanting with kartals and mridangas. When the governor arrived, Surabhi presented him with a garland. Immediately removing the garland, the governor walked down to the red carpet into the courtyard, and Prabhupada stood. The devotees were amazed to see Prabhupada standing straight and shaking the governor's hand. Prabhupada and the governor stood together for a while and then sat down. Except for the guests, everyone present knew that Prabhupada was not capable of much exertion. They saw him shivering and trembling, yet trying to smile and be gracious with his guest. The devotees were in great anxiety, thinking Prabhupada's life might end at any moment. And yet they took part in the sociable pretense along with their spiritual master. The government, on invitation, gave a speech talking about how India's future lay in industry. Then Prabhupada stood to speak, leaning against his chair. His eyes were very dark, and he was barely able to focus his vision. Although he had spoken very little for almost 2 weeks, He now spoke for 20 minutes, while the governor listened politely. Afterwards, Prabhupada sat an honored prasad with the governor and his entourage of 15 ministers. After the governor left, the devotees carried Prabhupada back to his room, where he collapsed with a 105-degree temperature. That's an interesting pastime. Now, another section of quotes is about regulation in habits and simple eating. According to Srimad Bhagavatam and Ayurvedic science, the single most important factor to keep good health is regulation, especially of eating and sleeping. If we follow the laws of nature, good health naturally follows. Regarding your question about maintaining your body nicely, I think that you should follow regulations of diet, sufficient sleeping, and keep to the prescribed rules of cleanliness, 2 baths per day. Then you will be able to keep yourself in proper health. Of course, disease will also be there, always be there at some time, while there is this material body. But this we must tolerate, not to be very much agitated by. The book shows also Srila Prabhupada's daily schedule while he was traveling. There was one quote I wanted to read. I think I skipped it somewhere. Srila Prabhupada addresses this point of overeating. Anyway, I don't find it, but Srila Prabhupada said that Western disciples came to India. Many became sick that time. And he said that, Srila Prabhupada said in, it's mentioned in this quote, I could see because they were eating too much that they would become sick. I could predict that. So because they were eating too much, then, because according to Ayurveda, what's happening is if you eat too much, that's interesting to know. Now, in our stomach is like, it's like a cooker, and we need a good fire of digestion, and the fire must be high to digest nicely. If everything is digested nicely, then the further process of creating this arm blood, and then healthy becomes bone. It's a whole process. I don't remember all the stages up to semen. The metabolism of the body depends on a good digestion. But your stomach has a certain volume, and you should fill up the stomach not more than it can contain. Because then when you eat, one should eat very peaceful environment, clean environment, that before you eat, you take a bath, so that the mode of goodness, and then when you eat, you should taste the food very attentively. This is like one meditates while honoring the prasad, one meditates how the deity tasted the food, and you taste it very nicely and chew it very nicely, peaceful, because then the saliva mixes with the food, and that mixing of saliva with the food is very important, because that's like the saliva gives a visa to the food you take, and it gives a visa to the food to digest more easily in the stomach. Now the stomach has a certain volume, and if you fill it up just what it can contain, then because then it will digest nicely, and when it's digestion in the side of the stomach, I don't know the technique, the medical terms, but there's a connection with the small intestines where the transformation into blood is generated. But then when it's digestions, there's an opening in the stomach, and that opens, and let then the food go into the area where in the small intestines where it's further processed. But if you eat more than the stomach can contain, then the surplus food enters the stomach, and then it pushes this artificially open, this opening with all the entrance into the small intestines for the further processing, and then the food is not properly digested, and that forms food which is not properly digested forms food produces arm, and that arm is transformed into toxins which are spread on through the body, and they will put themselves on the weakest part of the body, and that's the cause of disease. So good digestion is very important, that because it is said in the morning, that's what Ayurveda doctors say, in the morning you can fill up your stomach to 50-60% of what it can contain. And noontime, when the fire is high, 80-90%. And then in the evening, 10-20%, because the power of digestion is quite low in the evening. So if one follows these rules, because if you eat and you don't eat too much, just what you can, your stomach can contain, you feel that certain feeling of satisfaction afterwards. Yes, you feel that's good. And afterwards, you will not, because if you eat too much afterwards, there's a tendency to sleep or to rest. But then you don't have that. Because resting after a meal is very bad. Because, I mean, Resting is okay, but sleeping, you fall asleep. If you rest for 10 minutes, that's okay to get well to digest and you lie on your left side. But if you really fall asleep, then what's happening? The purifier of digestion is going down. By sleeping. And then the digestion is not going so well and creates this arm, these toxins. Because many times when one eats too much and then one sleeps, then 2 hours later you get up and you get with so a heavy feeling in your brain. These are all these toxins which... Anyway, maybe I'm going too far with telling all these things, but that's a part of the Ayurvedic course of Balanana Maharaj, and that helped me a lot to understand how to eat, how to sleep. That interesting, when you become a devotee, you have to learn everything again, how to take a bath, how to be clean, how to cook, how to eat, everything. So thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Prepared to become all yogis. Yes.
What would be the ideal daily program for a grihastha? In as much as rising and going to bed.
I think that's very individual. Very individual, because we have all a different constitution. One was mainly Vata. For him, easy to not to sleep too much, and it's easy to eat little. When there is a kapha constitution, that's another thing. Just such a person, just by thinking of food, he gets weight. that's a different. And then you have pitta, those who have a very fire in the body, always liking to eat. The whole day is so much fire. So we have to adapt our situation to our personal condition. And that's individual. But I think, everyone has to find his balance between sleeping too much and too little, eating too much and too little. Although there are general rules, like in Ayurveda, we never take big meals in the evening because it will bad for your health, will not digest properly and so on. Yeah, you can take a meal in the evening, that's not a problem. Too much is very bad in the evening. Before you go to sleep, it's good to have 3-4 hours between the meal and so in the evening we don't take things which gives us a lot of proteins or a lot of sugar or something. You will get problems in the night. But everyone has to experience that for himself, that balance. But there are these general rules for health, and that's for everyone. Therefore this book is very interesting. I read just here and there a few quotes of the book, but when it comes out, that's an interesting book to read, to learn from. Something else? Right. Chantra Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.